So, Philip, it's a week on now since you kind of announced your retirement. Is there any kind of ounce of regret, or how do you feel about it kind of a week on?
A week on. Yeah, listen, there's not really, to be honest. I'm after freeing up the time there. What the big thing was leaving the groups there during the week. Saying good luck to the lads there last Monday. No, I'm happy with my decision so far anyway. So yeah, it's just adjusting to it then, but I suppose lockdown has kind of helped that as well. So I'm kind of getting used to the evenings being free now as well. So helped the transition, I'd say.
Yeah, and when you were kind of going down to Thurles then for that last train, did you know yourself like that it was going to be your last time, or what was your kind of thinking kind of going down?
Yeah, well, it was kind of in the back of my head. I was going down to talk to Davey anyway. Davey kind of coaxed me out onto the pitch. And an hour and a half, 2 hours later, I was walking back in with the lads, weighing out and doing all the things as well, getting the grub. So, it was a nice train session. After spending a good few years down there on Dr. Mars train, it was nice to have one last run around it. And because often when you go to the championship, some people might never get back up to Dr. Mars. So it was nice to get back down around, and we haven't seen each other too much since the Mayo game, because I suppose you see each other that evening after the game. But after that, everyone goes separate ways. Being from North Tipperary, I'm not exactly too close to any of the lads, being distance wise, Stevie O'Brien being the closest, but he's still a good half an hour away from me here. So yeah, it was probably in the back of my head, all right, but it was nice to get one last run around, and the training was very enjoyable, and they're motoring fairly well and over there.
Yeah, and I was going to ask about the training, because when I first saw your kind of tweet announcing the retirement, I was kind of thinking it's a kind of a strange time. You know, a lot of people would retire in the off season, but I was thinking maybe he's after going down and there's been a beep test or something now, and you just thought, no, that's the end of it.
Well, a few people have said to me, all right, they said, well, I'd say we had a very hard training session Monday night, and you weren't looking forward to it, as you said, the Bronco on Wednesday night. But I suppose I was going to go Monday, and they ended up being down there, and I ended up out in the field. It was kind of really a mistake that I ended up out there, but it was kind of nice too. They can't. I suppose the first night back, they don't go hell for leather either for over an hour and a half, because you can't, because you're not sure what level people are at. But no, I just think the circumstances kind of change as well. And I was tipping along with the I suppose the gym sessions and the running, and it was kind of hard on your own. But I just didn't really get around to finishing up. Really, I don't know why. There's no really particular reason. Just finishing up there anyway. So it was fine. It's fine for finishing up on spot.
Yeah, and I suppose if we look back to last year, then obviously the kind of crowning moment, Munster final in November against Cork. Did that kind of make the decision maybe even easier? Just kind of knowing, look, we're after winning a Munster final now. It's not a bad time to kind of go.
Yeah, I suppose. Look, it's after spending so long trying to, I suppose, build something so substantial that you'd be proud of that. It was nice to finally get the crown off the year, and the last few years that we have been improving, that we finally, got over the line and won a Munster. Because, as I've said to the younger lads after the game, like, this doesn't happen every year. We've been trying here for years, trying to get over the line, and sometimes some days they just go for you. Like, and just that on that day, our team were just too good. Like, and we got over the line, and I suppose the only disappointment was that we didn't have the whole football, as I like to call them, the family, the whole football family there, like, on the pitch with us, because they had plenty of orders from all parts of the country, and that was probably the only disappointment in the actual year.
Yeah, and I was going to ask about that, kind of like, obviously you were on the field when the final whistle went, and what was that kind of like on the field? You know, it was an empty stadium, but you're all obviously still filled with joy. Was it kind of a weird feeling when that final whistle went?
Yeah, it was a little bit surreal as well, because it was two sides. It was nice in a way, because you got to, I suppose, spend it with anyone that you had soldiered with over the last few years, and new players and old players all alike on the field together after getting over the line. And then the flip side of it was that, you know, the rest of the, you know, your loyal supporters, we don't have a massive following, but they weren't, you know, they weren't there, and family and friends weren't there either. But look, that's just the way it was. I mean, there's obviously bigger things going on, but that was the way it was, and we made the most of it. But it didn't make the feeling any less special for anyone on the field that day and around the team.
Yeah, and kind of leading up to that, that final, like obviously with the whole Bloody Sunday aspect and that kind of thing, there was obviously probably a lot of pressure on you. But did you kind of feel that in the build up, or did that kind of did the Bloody Sunday kind of stuff add any more pressure to it, kind of going into the game?
To be honest, look, we were all aware of the Bloody Sunday thing from even the previous year, that it's been building up for 2 years, and it isn't something that, you know, as important as it was to acknowledge it and I suppose celebrate the centenary of it, it was also very important that we just got our own heads right. And I honestly don't believe that we thought about it too much until, I suppose, after it, or it didn't affect, it didn't weigh down on us in any way. It didn't affect the way we played in any way either. Like, it was important though to acknowledge, and I thought the celebrations around it were nice. And it was fitting too. Sometimes your name is just on a cup for that reason alone. Like, so it was nice for us to win it on that year as well. Like,
yeah. And was there any kind of that kind of thought? Because I remember that week I was kind of thinking, like, I know you weren't the favourites at all or anything going into the match, but I was kind of thinking it just feels like this is kind of almost destined, like written in the stars kind of thing. Like, I just had that feeling that you were just going to get over the line. Did you kind of have that kind of maybe in the back of your heads? Obviously you kind of wouldn't say it out loud, but was there any of that kind of feeling going into the game?
Yeah, look, I don't think any sports person goes out to a game and actually believe that they're not going to win, or you're possibly in the wrong job. But I don't believe that any of us didn't think we were going to win. And I suppose once you have that kind of mind frame, it's always going to make the task a little easier. And just, I suppose, sometimes when you're playing well and you're winning, you're actually not really too sure what you're doing right. But same way when you're not going that well, you can't put your finger on why you're not going that well either. But just work out for us that day. Maybe sometimes sport is that way. It's just, as you said, it was our destiny that to win that day.
Yeah, and for yourself then, last year you had a kind of a groin injury last year that was kind of lingering about.
Yeah, so I started off the year pretty well. So I played the first league game. I was going fine. I was happy enough the way I was progressing, and then I hurt the groin against Offaly there in the second half. And with the condensed year, it was always going to make it a little more difficult if anyone picked up a knock. And just struggled. I struggled to get back into the team then, because the boys had been playing. The lads had been playing so well, and which was fair enough. Like, and you can't have any qualms there. Like, and I was just, to be honest, I was just delighted to be a part of it. And even if I hadn't got on, I was going to be delighted to be a part of it. It's more than just the 15, the staff really. It is a kind of a panel game really. Like, so it was nice to get on though as well.
Yeah, and then obviously getting that score at kind of a very vital time in the game as well was another good moment, I'd imagine.
Yeah, it was a lovely pass from Evan via the post back to me. As you said earlier on, definitely right place, right time. Just sometimes you're just lucky. Better to be more lucky sometimes, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. And I suppose if we kind of go back further then, when you kind of first were in around the tip panel, I think 2005, 2006 time, you were playing dual with Tipperary under 21, so hurling and football. And obviously I'm from the north myself as well, you know, there's not a lot of football up here. Did you always kind of prefer football, or was it kind of just a decision you made after kind of under 21 to kind of focus on football, or did you always kind of want to play?
Yeah, look, it's an interesting one, I suppose. I probably preferred hurling. I was just better at football. So that kind of was the way it went. I was juggling both at minor 21, we played for Tip. And then we lost the hurling on Ireland to Kenny down to the replay in Thurles. And there was a number of players called into the senior panel the following year. I wasn't one of them, so I kind of went back, like I was exactly, I went back to football, but I was into football, and look, I was always treated very, very well into the football, very, very welcomed. So it was a very, very easy decision, very easy decision to make when you're not invited onto a panel. So and I have enjoyed my time thoroughly playing football, and I've met an awful lot of good friends through football, and I've met some great people and worked with some great management teams, and it's kind of just the kind of the way it fell, really.
Yeah, and even being from the North End, kind of with the footballers, it was you, Stephen O'Brien, I think George Hannigan was there for a while, and there has been other people from the North, but predominantly south of the county players will be in with the footballers. Was it kind of maybe hard to kind of acclimatise in with the different players when you were kind of first in with the football panel?
Yeah, and I suppose I was lucky. I suppose Stephen Murphy, Kevin Quinlan, Killer Warren were in there in around then as well, and Georgie and myself. So there was probably three or four of us in around at that time. And the lucky thing was I had played a bit of minor and 21, and I had met players through then. So then I suppose when I went to the seniors, the likes of Brian Mulville had come in along with me and Mile Rovers, and it kind of helped me that I knew a few players in there. And then as the years went on, then the younger players come in, and you just got to know people. And you know, I always like to the new players that come in, it's nice to get to know them. And once you start playing with them, then you feel as if you're kind of your own little club team over there, because most of the time you do get the main body of the team back again. You might lose players that panel players, but mostly the same body keeps coming back, and it's helpful that way too.
Yeah, and I suppose that was kind of 2006, was 15 years ago now, and like I suppose the game has changed a lot since then. What was it kind of like being a Tipperary footballer back then compared to now, let's say? Is there any kind of big changes that you've noticed?
I think it moves with the times, to be honest. So, I mean, when I walked out of the train and that Monday night, it was 40, I don't know, it was between 40 and 45 down there, and I just thought to myself in the back of the head, the football is in a very, very good place right now. And you know, if I roll back, if you just sit back 15 years, then walking down Dr. Marsh Park, most nights we could have only had 9, 10, 11 training, and the first 10, 15 minutes just kicking the ball, trying to score from the sideline kind of thing, and there was no such thing as a nutritionist then, or you didn't have your performance coaches and all the rigmarole that goes along with these kind of county teams now. If you had said that back then the performance coaches, and now you'd be looking around going, what's a performance coach or even a nutritionist? We didn't really have them back then. And I think it's just advanced with the times as each manager came in, then they added their own little part to it as well. And now you nearly have everyone has their own role within the team, in the management side of it, and they're a very, very professional outfit. And so things for every management team progressed along a little bit more, and just kind of acclimatized to the times that we're in as well.
Yeah, geez, that's crazy. That such kind of little numbers, and even from any time I've been training myself, underage, I'd say with my own club, and kind of it might be an under 21 training and a college evening, and there's only 9 or 10 lads there, and it kind of disheartens you to even, you're thinking, why am I even bothering this? What was that kind of like, kind of going down tip training and, only 9, 10 lads kind of training at that time?
Yeah, well, look, I obviously knew from, we said, being with the minors and the 21s and both football and hurling, that you would have had more numbers then. And it was unusual. And I suppose I just didn't know any different either. And also, I suppose in the back of my head, where I was thinking, well, sure, we're kind of at a low point. Maybe this is the only way is up. If this was the case, and it did improve, and the sad thing is, maybe we lost a couple of players along the way that just got disheartened from it all, that the numbers were low, and maybe things weren't as good as they could have been. But it was, Seamus McCarthy gave me my start, a great man, and and every manager as well I worked with, I got on very, very well with. And I suppose it was difficult at the start, but I suppose it's just, if you don't know any different, it's just a matter of getting on with it. And again, there was great players. I played with great players up along, whether they were from winning teams or from teams that never won anything. There was still some great players there. It's just again on the same on the year in question, maybe they just didn't go our way. Like,
yeah. And was there kind of any kind of moment, like a kind of a turning point, let's say, where things maybe started to look a bit more or hopeful, I suppose, for Tip football when you were in there? Like, was there? Yeah, I know you won a couple of leagues and stuff like that, and obviously 2016 then was kind of the next step up. But where would you kind of see that kind of turning point happening?
I'd say that John Evans coming in probably gave it the boost maybe that it needed. A Kerry man coming in, you know, from a football stronghold, football kingpin.
Yeah.
Gave it a boost, potentially gave it a profile that people kind of began to sit up and kind of say, maybe there's something happening here. And slowly and surely, as the years kind of moved on, you could see that the numbers were increasing, and you could see what, you know, he started out, he added something different every year. And, you know, when he finished and Liam came in, when Peter came in then, you know, they added something again, and it kind of kicked on really each year. But I'd say definitely John coming in kind of maybe kick-started the whole thing off, because once you increase the numbers, we won a division four league title in one of the years we had with John, and I suppose it just kind of kicked on from him. But even the way he was, the training was a little bit different. And I suppose the players reacted, and you probably got more players buying into it as well, which is a big thing.
Yeah, and I was mentioning 2016 then. That was obviously a great year, getting to an All-Ireland semi-final. What was your kind of memories of that year?
Yeah, I've been chatting to a few people. 16 was probably definitely was one of our better years. It became a problem in 17, 18, 19 almost after that, because we kept referring back to 16, and we didn't seem to be progressing after. Yes, we had the main body of players still there, and we kind of had to say to ourselves in a group that we need to stop referring back to 16. It's in the past, and we need to start making new kind of memories, you know, with this panel. And definitely, whilst it was a brilliant year, we still had to kick on from it, and we probably didn't for a year or two kick on. But it was the year in question. It was brilliant. It just seemed to really kind of take off after the Cork game. And I know we didn't put our best foot forward against Kerry, but I mean, the Derry and Galway and Mayo games were great moments where I suppose the supporters kind of, we got extra supporters. If you want to say it, for a few weeks there in Tipperary, and it just raised the exposure again. It was like another moment, say the first, maybe John Evans being the first factor, and then this was definitely another moment for Tip football. If you're looking at key moments down through the years, it was another moment that summer of to Tip football raising awareness and gaining extra, I suppose, extra support and extra exposure.
Yeah, and I like, even thinking back to that time, even with kind of gaining extra support, like, and things like that, I think people really got behind the team as well because of the brand of football they were playing. And, you know, Tipperary being a predominantly hurling county, people are used to watching hurling matches and exciting kind of end-to-end games. And, you know, sometimes you try on a football match and it could be slow and kind of 15 lads behind the ball kind of thing. But Tip were playing a very kind of expansive brand of football and entertaining brand of football. I think that probably kind of brought in a lot of supporters as well, I'd imagine.
Yeah, well, I suppose in fairness, there was both the football on the field, and then Joe Hannigan and the supporters club was driving a lot of that as well. But he did great work in fairness with the supporters club amongst a lot of other people, because without the supporters club we would have been in big trouble. But absolutely. Like, I mean, we say from Peter and Liam, Peter Creedon, Liam Kearns, and Davey, like, they're kind of managers that play that kind of attacking, expansive football that people like to see. And no one wants to probably watch a game that, as Pax Balan called, pure football, where you're just defending all the time. So look, we kind of die with the sword in that regard. So we have taken beatings before because we're trying to play expansive, but I suppose if you can just stick to your guns, like maybe we'll come full circle, and it has a time, but and it is exciting to play with a team that's playing kind of expansive football, and it is enjoyable because, again, when you were growing up as a young fella, I don't think there was many footballers or hurlers that ever that dreamed of just being a kind of a spoiler or a stopper. Most people dreamed of scoring and being a forward, I'd say, as they were growing up.
Yeah, and I was reading a bit about you there, and was it 2016-17 you got a fairly bad hip injury you had?
Yeah, so it was kind of I suppose it was through 16 as well. In 16, I sort of started to get this pain on the right hip, and 17 it kind of came to a head. I couldn't get it right through getting physios, etc. And then what I did, I went down to Dr. Carton in Waterford, and I had a hip impingement, and I had to get it the ball and socket basically sheared out and kind of made more smoother and just to clear that injury. So it was a good 18 months there where we're kind of bleak enough, dark enough times in terms of getting out in the field and playing, and wondered would I ever get back playing. Fortunately, I did. But yeah, it's just something that I continue to kind of monitor, because I would go back every November back down there just to make sure that I haven't lost any more cartilage. Because when I met him and he did the scans and stuff, I was told, he said, basically, we do this operation, but you need to finish playing because you've lost your 50% of your cartilage gone here. So you need to finish up. Or basically, you're looking at hip replacement in 3 or 4 years. So that was back in 17. So I'm 21 now, and I still haven't got the hip replacement. So I'm going all right.
Jeez, that's crazy. And like when he obviously said that, were you kind of thinking, oh, that's it? Like, or were you thinking, oh, no, I'll see how it is and kind of go from there?
Yeah, no, I just said, what is the best treatment for this? And he said, you need to give it, you know, 6 months, 9 months to fully heal it and not go back too soon. So I gave it the full 7 months where I didn't do really very little at all, only my rehab. I didn't run on it. I gave the best possible opportunity to get back. And luckily, I've had very few issues since with it. And I've just been very, very careful. I've gone back every year to them just to, again, get scanned, just to make sure. And obviously, I've lost a little bit on it since, but it has been pretty good, like, since. And I probably do. It probably was one of the decisions that I'd be thinking in the back of my head. You know, there's obviously an amalgamation of reasons why I finished up, but the hip certainly was one of the factors. I probably did have another 2 years playing with hip there, but do I want to finish up, as a croc and not being able to run around, you know, in 10 years' time?
Yeah, kind of get out while you're ahead kind of thing.
Well, I always like to talk back then. I said I would love to get back then to finish on my own terms, and finishing on my own terms. I just feel it's success for me anyway.
Yeah, and John, when you put out that tweet last week, one of the things I noticed is a lot of the players and stuff calling you Stone Cold Philip Aston. I hadn't heard that before, but I don't know if I'll be able to read your name now without thinking about that. Is that a nickname you've always kind of had?
No, I honestly have no idea where that came from. That's obviously a private joke that I wasn't in on, because I very rarely hear that. So they obviously must be sneering me behind my back, I think, Paul.
Yeah, because I saw it on Shane Brophy's piece in the Guardian about you, and like one of the first lines was like Stone Cold Philip Aston. I had never heard it before.
Yeah, I think, if I'm ever fortunate enough to have kids anyway, and I call one of them Steve anyway, I think the poor child is getting thrown anyway. I don't know where it came. Listen, I suppose, I think they say slagging is a sign of affection, so I'm going to take it. I'll take it anyway.
Yeah, a good outlook. I suppose, Philip, next you're going to play a few more years with Bursa Kane, I'd imagine.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to getting back there. I think we're back, is it the 10th of May or 12th of May we're back in?
Yeah, I think the 10th we can go back training.
Yeah, I can't wait to get back in there. So we have Dean and Hayes, that few local lads there with us, and Dean and Hayes is coming over the border there to a good hurling county from that. So he's over training. He's trained last year and he's trained this year. So I can't wait to get back in, see the lads again. And we've a good young team there, so hopefully we can kick on there. We're an intermediate hurling club, and Hearn's very competitive in tip. The club scene now, since they kind of redrew the kind of, I suppose, the groups, like the 16 teams, it's been very competitive. And you know, once you're competitive, it doesn't matter what grade you're really playing at. It's just great to be out there playing and competing, no matter what age you are.
Yeah, definitely. And you're playing, you're in the intermediate football this year. Would you typically play club football? Like, would you have played a lot of club football now in the last 10 years?
10 years? No, in 2012, we would play up to 8 minor 21, and then we were kind of, some years we would have a junior team and some years we wouldn't. And then in 2012, I was captain of Tip, and we had a team in at that stage, so we put a team in. We put a junior team in, and I think maybe, I don't know whether that, maybe it was a year or two after that we won the junior, and then a couple of years after that we won the junior A, and then a couple of years after that we actually lost the intermediate county final to Conor Sweeney's Ballycreen. So we were pretty close to actually getting up, but we never made the jump. But yeah, it is enjoyable. I think that we actually have good footballers in Burriscane, and I enjoy playing football towards the end of the year as well. But no, we're predominantly hurling, and always have been, like, but there is good footballers there as well.
Yeah, and then for the hurling intermediate as well this year, what's the kind of the outlook then for this year? Are you kind of hopeful?
Sure, not at all. We're ever hopeful to win. We won it. By the way, we won it back in 2011. I possibly think 2011 probably the best achievement of my life was that, because we've been trying to win it for years, and again, as you said, we haven't been able to win it since. You know, it's a hard competition to win, and one of the greatest achievements I've ever had on a field was that county final in 11 with Burriscane, with your own club, like with your own friends and family.
Yeah, and I think was it 2012 when you're up senior? I think I'm from Burgess. I think he bet us down in Clochjordan and won the matches. I remember that all right.
I think I remember before the end of the game running at the corner. Right, I guess you were in soccer trying to play down the clock. yeah, that was a little bit shocking. All right, I don't think we had a result like it since, but we kind of struggled along there in senior. You know, just possibly maybe not at that standard. You know, but you know, there's a lot of good work being done in the club underage, and you know, at our intermediate level as well, and there's a lot of good club men there that are digging out and volunteering and stuff, and it keeps the whole thing going, keeps the GA community going as well. You know, and it, as we saw throughout lockdown, it's a mighty mighty community spirit that they bring.
Yeah, and you've had a kind of a bit of success underage kind of the last kind of number of years as well, like, so you'd imagine kind of things are definitely on the up anyway for the club.
Yeah, definitely. There's been a few minor, similar to, I suppose, to the Tip football at the time. Like, you know, there's been some minor and under 21 success there, and they're kind of backbone our intermediate team at the moment. And we have a few elder statesmen still kind of tipping along as well, just kind of half overlooking the whole thing there as well. But no, we've a good young team there. They're great lads. Great lads to train, and just makes it all easier as well. That you're kind of combining the young and the old together. Like, and that's the beauty about, I think, GA, that you can combine the young and the old and form a team.
Yeah, well, listen, Philip, I've kept you long enough. Thanks a million for having the chat with myself, and congratulations, I suppose, on a great career, and all the best in the future with Burriscane.
Listen, thanks very much, Pat. No bother that.